Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Teacher Quit Talk. We have a rare episode where no one's quitting that we know of yet. We have the incredible teacher, Miss Bond. I will allow you to introduce yourself to the people. Who are you? Why are you here? What are you loving? What are you hating?
Hi. Oh my gosh. I am Shanae Bond. I am a Texas teacher. This is my ninth year teaching. And I just need y'all to know that I got so much street cred today because my students were like, what are you doing? Why do you have like lipstick on? And I was like, I'm going to be on a podcast. And they're like, doesn't even make sense. Why do you have lipstick on? And I was like, listen, okay, when you look good, you sound good, you feel good. But then they were like, the only teachers I like are Miss Redacted and I love her podcast. And I was like, actually, guys, I hate to tell you this, but that's how I'm going to be on a podcast. So thank y'all for inviting me. In the eyes of a bunch of 16, 17, 18 year olds today for the first time in a long time. So thank you. Hi.
I'm honored.
Yeah.
Tell them I said thank you.
I will.
And that they all have detention.
Yes, I will. they will not come, but I will tell them that. But I had to like show them the email. I was like, actually, because they were like, no way, you're not that cool. And I'm like, actually, guys, I kind of a little bit
the way
cool.
That I'm like fangirling over you because I followed you on Twitter my first year teaching. And I was like, this woman appears to really know what's going on. And I do not.
Yeah. Okay. So when was your first year teaching?
I was like 2019.
Right before.
Yeah.
2019, 2020.
Yeah. So that was my first year teaching.
Yeah. And you came back.
I left and then I came back.
Yeah. Eventually.
So I left February 2022 and then came back August 2023. So I took like a year and some change, like a year and a half.
My students told me that. They gave me all of the intel today. So like, that's why you came back. Like, you're awesome.
I try. I do what I can. As I say, they give me a medium amount of money, so I am here. So you said you teach in Texas, right?
I do.
What do you teach?
So I teach Honors English 2, AP Literature, and I teach dual credit American literature. So from the inception of America to 1865 one semester and then 1865 to now in the spring.
Have you always taught like in the high school English universe or have you taught other?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I did middle school during my period where you like go out and you like look at different campuses. And I was there one day. I was out of middle school one day. And I was like, listen, if you cannot give me a high school job, I can't do it. I can't do it. Like I said, stop touching each other. That's nasty. That's not right. Are you okay? Like I just on repeat, those were the only things that I said that day. And I was like, I can't. My brain does not. It is gross overload. So yeah, I've always taught high school. I started with freshmen my first 2 years, all freshmen. And I've worked my way kind of through. I've taught everybody, including seniors. This is the last 2 years are the first 2 years that I taught seniors. And that's been a different piece.
Seniors are a very different vibe. I've never taught a full class of seniors, but I've had a couple because like they'll switch schools and some schools do it differently. And I'm like, oh, after February, you're giving nothing. And that's so understandable, but you are giving me literally nothing.
Absolutely nothing. And it's really weird because you're just like, I could empathize, right? You're like, I get you're in between this world where like sometimes you have to ask to go to the bathroom and you're being able like and then on the other side, you're making these like life altering decisions. Like I
and, like,
get it.
A military recruiter called you like you're in a weird spot.
Right. Like I get it. But also like you're going to maybe fail. And that is a really awkward thing to say to somebody who's like 18, who's done this for 13 and a half years. You're just like, hey, so the zero and the way that the zero averages with the other grade. It's not happening.
And it's so painful to be like, you are unfortunately 1 inch from the finish line and you stopped. So if you
literally
could
stopped.
Literally do anything, like even a grunt or a crawl, perhaps,
yes.
Would be more realistic.
Yeah. So for my students who are listening, I see you. A grunt or a crawl would be appreciated.
C's get degrees. It's fine. I get it. I understand. So you said you're now teaching like the AP, the honors, the dual credit. Have you taught in the regular ed sphere as well? Or have you always been in the honors world?
Yeah. So the last couple years are the first years that I've actually only taught honors classes. And the only reason that happened is because I went back to school. Like, my district paid for me to go and get the 18 hours I needed to teach dual enrollment. So the last year, I'm like one of the only people in the building who can do it. So they're like, hey, here are your classes. But I've taught honors English 2 for 8 of the 9 years. Well, I taught English 2 and then I taught honors English 2. But this is like the first time that I'm just teaching honors, and it's very weird.
Yeah. So at my previous school, I taught regular ed with a couple classes of honors. But honestly, like, no shade to those children. Love you guys so much. A lot of times in my old district, honors just meant does not have behavioral outbursts.
Not behavioral issues. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, like, you're an honor in my heart, but maybe not like your Lexile level is in honors.
Or your like desire to do the things, right? Like, yeah. I can work with a student who's like, I'm not there academically, but I like work really hard. Mm-hmm. But some of my students are just like, I'm here because my mom signed me up for this class. And my counselor was like, you've always been an honors, so you're going to be an honors. And so I'll ask students, even in AP Lit, I'm like, how did you get here? And they're like, I've always been an honors and nobody took me out. And I'm like, okay.
I think our kids should hang out, because I quite literally had that convo last week where I took 3 of them into a hallway and literally just looked at them and go, what are we doing?
Well, how'd you get here? I know. I love them. And I think that the honors system is so weird, because like, I'm never going to be like, you got to get out, right? Because I do understand that the way that we've staggered classes is so inequitable, right? You have teachers who have 25 kids, you know, 13 have behavioral issues, or they need some sort of special accommodation. And so like, they're not getting the attention that they need to actually grow. So I'm never going to be like, kid, you can't stay. But I'm always like, my kids who seem to be like, you're with it, you know what's going on, but you like refuse to do the work. I'm like, what are you doing here? Like, how can we change the situation? And anytime I'm like, do you want to go to an on-level class? They're like, No, I'm not doing that. And I get it. I totally understand, because that's a different type of hard.
And so this is my first year teaching an advanced placement class. I'm teaching AP US History. Some of these honors kids really do shade the regular ed classes, and they don't want to go in there. And I'm like, if you don't leave those kids alone, like, stop it.
So my first 4 years teaching, I was an IB teacher. And I taught at an IB school. So International Baccalaureate is like AP, but like on drugs.
And it's like, you have to start when you're like 14, and it's like, yes, all or nothing.
Yes, you're in it or you're literally not. And there are some classes you can take for 1 or 2 years, mostly the 2-year route. But like, these kids are in like 6 IB classes, and they are like, they're a little pod people. They're just like, we go to this class together, we go to this class together, because we only have so many classes we can take. And in order to get the IB diploma, you have to take all of these, and then you have to like submit these papers. It's really collegiate. And I had one student in particular who used to call the on-level kids Gen Pop.
Stop, sir.
And I'm like, that's not okay. And so we had to have a talk, like, listen, you guys are doing more, you're doing more work because you have to. But like, when it comes down to it, like, you're all, there is this like elitism that comes from like working hard, right? Mm-hmm. And doing more work in high school. But yeah, I have to have those conversations with kids. And I mean, the Gym Pop comment was funny because it's clever coming from like a 17-year-old. But I was also like, you know, why do you think that that's okay? You know, what is it that you're doing differently? So I do have to spend a lot of time being like, you guys are kids. You're all kids. And the things that those students are going through in the types of classes that they're going through, like, it's hard in a different way. And like, a lot of you would not survive.
It's a completely different set of expectations and environment and challenges. Right. Like, and what's funny to me is both of my sets of kids say that I am meaner to them than the other ones, and say that like the reverse class is harder, because my AP kids are like, oh, you make us write essays, you don't make the other kids write essays. And then my other kids are like, you take our phones and make us take quizzes, you don't make the AP kids take quizzes. And I'm like, y'all need to stop cross-communicating like
this.
Stop
talking to each other. Yeah. We're doing different things here. It's really funny. Every time I have a student that I taught in, like, not an honors class or I haven't taught in the last year come in and they were like I had a seventh period 1 year that were like, our goal was to survive. I'm like, I don't know how much content we're going to cover because it was the smallest class I'd ever had, like 13 kids. And they were all it was like the worst combination of personalities. They were not bad kids. I adore each of them individually, but together it was literally like I had a kid throw a chicken wing at another kid, like, and not in a malicious way. Like, I'm sharing a chicken wing with him. I threw it across the room.
Sharing is caring.
Yeah. I was like, okay, babe. Okay.
Fraz, this is your third grade class.
It's so interesting how crossover-y it is between the littles and the bigs. Like, I could totally see that happening in a kindergarten classroom. Like, I see the logic.
They were just like, I was giving him a chicken wing. Like, we're supposed to share. This is an open community. You always say that. And I'm like... And then the kid and the kicker, and this is why it's burned in my memory, is because the kid caught it with the book that they were reading.
No.
So, like, we did free reading time. And so he was like, oh, I got it. And I was like, oh, that's my book.
I love lemon pepper sauce on page 37 of The Great Gatsby. That's exactly what they needed in that chapter.
And they were proud of themselves. And that's it. And that's the class. They were so like, I caught it. I shared. There was no, like, they did not understand why I was mad. And why I'm still mad. So when those kids walk into my classes, my kids are like, he just said 4 cuss words. Why aren't you mad at him? And I was like, it's a different relationship.
You're like, you see how he's in the room?
Yeah.
That's progress.
Right. We're doing a thing. Or do you see the fact that he came in and said hi before he started cursing really loudly? Like, that's a thing. We're doing a thing. It's all about relationships. But I try to tell them that, like, my relationship with you as, like, an honors kid who's on their way to college is very different than my relationship with someone who's, like, really struggling to get through high school because they don't have the support systems that you do. So they seem to get that, but it's always like the, you let that guy come in and get a bottle of water, but you said I couldn't get a bottle of water. And I'm like, okay. And you still can't get a bottle of water.
I have random kids I've never met in my life coming to me asking me for bottles of water on a daily basis.
Miss, you got a bottle of water. Do you know my name? I don't. I don't know your name, miss. I just thought you look like you had a bottle of water. Okay,
it's so funny that your incident was a chicken wing because literally on Friday, there was a chicken wing on the floor in front of the lockers by my classroom. And I looked at the guy who teaches next to me because we have to stand in the hallway. And I pointed to it and I said, that's so me right now. And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, that is me. Like, that's how I feel right now. I feel like that chicken wing on the ground in the corner of the lockers. And he was like, are you okay? What are you talking about?
At this public high school.
He goes, you're a woman. And I was like, no, that's me. That chicken wing.
You teach them so much there.
I'm going to use that as a metaphor in my next period. I'm like, imagine, right? A chicken. What if I told you I am that chicken? What would you say? What would you say about who I am if I said that? It's happening. That's the bell ringer for tomorrow. Thank you so much.
I love seeing your bell ringers on Twitter because it always humbles me in the best way that I'm like, oh my God, I don't know. And I realize that I'm like, they're in the same grade as my students. And I'm like, I really got to stop acting like I know so much because I really have no idea what you're talking about. Because literature was, oh, my poor literature teacher. It was like pulling my teeth out. And to make matters worse, my sister is a very into literature person and he taught her. So he saw the last name and was like, glorious. And then I showed up.
Yeah, I get that. So people are like, oh, you teach English? Oh, that was one of my worst subjects. And I'm like, you can read. So yeah. I bet you did fine. And you're here wherever it is. Like, you graduated and you're like, so you something. It's fine. You did the thing. But yeah, it's such a different way of looking at things because it's just like everything feels like cryptic and it's not. It's really not. It's sometimes it just is what it is, but like never in my brain. And so my students are always like, I'll be like, whoa, what that sentence? And they're like, oh, my God, please. Please do not do the thing. And I'm like, no, guys, think about what it means that this is how the author started. And they're like, they just wrote down. They wrote down words.
I
like,
know they are so sick of you.
They're so like, tired.
So like, tired I'm excited and I'm with you, but I know that they are so over it.
And I can read something. I'll be like, oh, that's interesting phrasing. And they're like, is it wrong or what? Is it right or is it wrong? I was like, no, it's interesting. It's just interesting. I was vibing with it, but then I was not vibing. Can you explain? And they're like, I'll rewrite it. I'm done. I don't even care. I don't even care. And I'm like, okay, I just thought we were doing a thing, but I'm the only one who's ever doing a thing. It's only me. It's just me.
You're like, I'm the only one having fun, and I'm not even really having that much fun. So
no, not at all. And this is the third time I've done this today. But okay, whatever. You guys just do you. You do you.
I realized how much English teachers are our strongest soldiers this year of having to really write essays with them for the first time, because you'll laugh at this. I just gave them a prompt and I was like, write an essay, because I just assumed.
What do you mean by essay, miss?
I don't know. I gave them a rubric and a prompt, so I kind of thought they could take it from there. It was quickly proven wrong.
No. What, can you tell me what happened? Can you just like, what did they try?
Yes, they really did. Like, a lot of them really did try. A lot of them plagiarized it. And I was like, that is a form of trying in a way, if you think about it. That's mm-hmm. better than nothing. And then some of them really tried and did not do great, but tried so hard. So I ended up just kind of grading it on like a completion vibe. Then I just abandoned that for a good month and a half. And I said, not going back to that. And got through a couple more units. And then we did another one that we spent a week on and did an outline together first and read many examples.
There it is.
And I was like, that was way more painful, but I think we're really getting somewhere now.
They learned something.
They really did. And we just did our third one. And I was like, 8. The amount of kids that did not laugh when I said was 4+4 when we did our writing conferences.
Oh, they're sick of you too. I love it. I'm obsessed.
Fras, do you experience that same like hesitancy around reading and writing in small people?
Oh, yeah. But the version that I get is they act like they're being tortured if you ask them to write a sentence. Capital letter, finger spaces, neat penmanship, punctuation at the end. And it's like they're melting.
So I taught freshmen my first year, and I remember being like, are they sure that these are the skills I'm supposed to be covering? Because I don't think these are the skills that we're covering. You want them to make an inference and then support it with detail? Oh, okay. And there was a solid 2 months where I was like, complete sentence. What does a complete sentence have? So like the same thing. So like they try to trick us. They lie to us and they tell us, oh, we don't know what a noun is. And I'm like, I'm gonna try and believe you and give you the benefit of the doubt, but I'm struggling because I know that somebody said this is a noun to you at some point. So I know it happens, but they will pretend like never heard of her.
Not
Who
ringing
is she?
A bell.
What is a noun?
It's in a dusty recess of their memory, like underneath some
Roblox thing that they're still doing in 12th grade on their MacBooks. For sure. The amount of Roblox that I have to be like, we're not doing that. We're literally writing an analytical outline right now. Get off Roblox. Our school district tried to ban Cool Math. I know it didn't happen. I know at least one student hacked it.
I love when they outsmart a multi-million-dollar district. I know it.
I'm like, they need to hire y'all.
No, I'm like, Craig in there is not holding it down. Right. Like, yeah, we need to get, this should be an internship class. Like,
right.
We'll save the taxpayer a couple of salaries. I'm seeing all wins here.
Like, you want to know who is going to tell you if it's working? A ninth grade boy. He's going to tell you if your firewalls are firewalling because they can get through it.
I had this kid at my old school. This was fascinating. So his dad was like a multimillionaire tech guy. And this kid just like randomly showed up at our school and was like, I've never gone to public school. I want to try this before I graduate. So it was just with us for 12th grade. And I was like, period. He was bringing all these computer parts to school and opening the district laptops and replacing kids' processors. And I was like, this is probably illegal, but the way you're doing more for education inequality than the government is incredible right now, sir.
What a king.
Right?
What the hero we need.
I was like, you took your dad's Amex and you ran with it.
I love that.
When I almost hit his dad's Tesla, he was so nice about it. So great family.
I love that.
Listening to you guys talk about high school is just so informative to me. Like, I feel like I'm just listening because I don't know anything about anything. Like, I don't even think I know what honors is. Like, I know what AP is, but those are different, right?
AP is the College Board, and that's like a nationwide thing. So like, I teach AP US History, and an AP US History teacher in Alaska or Hong Kong, because it's actually worldwide, we're all using the exact same curriculum, and the kids take the exact same test. honors is just, correct me if I'm wrong, it's like the quote unquote harder version of the same curriculum or like more advanced?
For us, honors is like pre-AP. Mm. So like we have honors English 1 and honors English 2. Because those don't have AP courses. And so junior or senior year, they'll take AP Literature or AP Lang with me. And that is, again, College Board. In English, it's not as mandated. It's like, you need to do these types of texts. But they just get, it's just like, you need to cover all of this material. What it is specifically is fine. But you need to do like so many short stories, so many long form things. You need to do some plays and it needs to span like from the 1500s to now. But like, I don't have, like, I know that APUSH is very like specific.
No, mine is like, these little kids better know what the Teller Amendment is or your ass is on the line.
Yeah.
Like, they're very,
APUSH is
very explicit, which I kind of like. I love an explicit list because give me a list, I'll get it done.
Right. I will make it happen. Yeah. No, AP Lit is just like, you need to know the essence of 16th century literature.
To me, that's and harder. Like,
can you tell me what it is? Can you tell me what the essence is? Because I don't know.
You're like, quick question, not a child, but I don't think I know what the essence is right now.
I Google so many things. I'm like, I have the lit chart. My kids will be like, hey, I'm going to look this up. And I was like, this is on page 20 of the lit chart that I already printed out for this text. Okay. I know. I looked it up too. I'm asking you to take that a little bit further because I have no idea. But AP is, it's like its own thing, but it is, I think once they do AP, they have the requisite skills to go and take like a college class. Dual credit is through our local community college. And so I had to like get more credit hours, and then I had to get credentialed through them. And so like, I'm a teacher, I just have a lot of bosses being a dual credit teacher. Like, my principal is my boss, and then like I have a department chair at the school, at the college, who's a boss, and I have a department chair here. So I just got like more work, and then I have to do more of those like safe schools trainings. Like, that's the big difference, is like double that.
Gross. That they make you do double of like the boring trainings and stuff. You're like, oh, don't lick the blood off the floor. Thanks.
Right. You mean I'm not supposed to stand on the chair, right? I'm not. That's not it. Okay.
So I'm curious, do you have, I know a lot of people have strong opinions about AP versus dual enrollment and IB versus AP. What are all of your thoughts on that? Literally,
ooh.
I could listen to you talk for an hour just about that. So what do you think?
I was like, I feel like somebody's going to get so mad.
They'll be fine. They'll get okay. over it.
I was like, I have been like arguing with people on Twitter all week, and I'm sure that this is going to be uproarious. But okay. So I see the value of each of them. There's my political answer. I am not a huge fan of AP. I'm not a huge fan of College Board. I think that they're the devil, and I think that they have way too much of an impact on what's taught in schools. Like, suddenly everything looks like AP exams and TSI and I'm like, well, what happened? Because that's not, a lot of our kids aren't actually going to college and don't need like composition or like American literature. So why do their standardized tests reflect that? I think College Board does not use its power for good. You know, you've got all these book bans and they're like, cool, it is what it is. It's fine.
They're like, so this year the SAT is digital, guys. Have nothing to say about the book bans, but everyone bring your Chromebooks.
Right.
Charge.
Everybody, and make sure it's charged. Make sure it's charged.
Chargers will not only not be available, they will be confiscated.
Right, right. Because that is not an approved, that's not on the approved list to take the SAT. Yeah, it's just so, it feels like a scam to me. I do like the AP curriculum because I think it spans a lot of good stuff in literature and in Lang. I've done a little bit of studying in Lang. IB for me is, I think, the best, most legitimately rigorous curriculum. I was an IB kid. So I went through the program and then I went and I taught with my teachers. So that was amazing. And the students that I taught, they were just the best, sharpest, most thoughtful students because they had to, like, nothing that they did is in a silo, right? Everything is connected. Your art needs to be connected with your English, needs to show up in your lab reports, and all of that is connected to history. They were all just together, and we were always a unit and a team. So when my students went to college, and when I went to college, it was like the first 2 years were like, this is easy. They've been telling us that this is gonna be so hard, but like, this, I can do this. I did not, I was so prepared for college that I didn't do anything for the first 2 years.
I was the same way. I had like a 4.0 and was not studying at all. And I was like, something, that is when I realized we have a education crisis in America. I was like, these people don't know what the fuck they're talking about and they can't write an essay and we're 19.
Right.
It's like AP comp was harder than this. What's happening?
Right. I'm like, they have been lying to us the whole time. I don't think that my students experience that. I think sometimes I have a few students who've like gone off and they're like, AP Lit is harder than my composition class. And I'm like, well, yeah, because you can write an essay, because if you didn't, you wouldn't have been in AP Lit. But I think that most of my students still struggle just because college itself has changed. It's really hard for them. But I think that IB is so holistic in that these things have to be connected. When you're in college and you're taking classes that you love, those things do start to bleed into each other, right? Like my feminist studies classes were like intimately connected with my like 17th century plays that I had to be reading. And so I was allowed to connect those because I had great professors. And I think that the IB education really makes them think deeply about the things that they do. And it also makes them think about like they're these global contexts that they have to think about everything. So they do a lot of research about what's happening, you know, in different parts of the world and what that looks like and how our culture impacts, you know, who we are and how we see the world. So I just think it's just so holistic and it really nurtures more of the whole child. I mean, it's still kind of an evil corporation. No offense, IB.
I have no IB experience as a child or a teacher, but from what you're saying, it sounds very community-based, which I think is very good for them. And I think that a lot of education, especially at the high school level, is not very community-based. Like a lot of kids, none of their friends have identical schedules to them. We put a lot on high schoolers in terms of keeping track of dates and objects that I feel like most adults probably could not handle.
I don't. I'm like, I literally, my kids will watch me like go around being like, is it due today? Or like, where's my clicker? So yeah, I mean, I live with ADHD and I am a perfect example of that. And I tell them all the time, if I was supposed to function in the space that you guys are functioning in, I would not thrive.
I would cry every day. Actually, I did. It was like 10 years ago and that's what I was doing. So I think that's exactly what happened.
So we have an early college high school at my school. And so it's like a school within a school. But even there, like kids are allowed to take classes from all over at the community college level. So like even they don't have a sort of like cohort that they've been through all these classes with. It really is sad. Now that I think about it, it is an absence of community. And like, you don't have people who you're like, she was being a total ass today, right? Like,
yeah.
Mrs. So-and-so is not it. And it's like, yeah. Or like, hey, did you do the reading? So can you like tell me what happened real quick? Like those were like my best friend. Like if I didn't read, she read. And if she didn't read, I read. And we were in sync. And I remember one day in my IB English class with Mrs. McBroom, I love you. There was one student, Trudy, I love Trudy. We were like, we can't take this test today. And so Trudy started crying and she saved our asses. She saved us that day. And then there was one time where, so Trudy was a valedictorian and then the salutatorian, Dorian, another day, he like did this thing where he kept asking the teacher questions to like get her off track. Like it was like a plan. So he would like start something up and we would be like, oh yeah, I've always wanted to know about fairies. And it really was fairies because she was like, I believe in fairies. So there were whole days where we were like, somebody's got to carry the load. And someone did. Someone showed up.
I think that's good though, because like that's high school is supposed to prepare you for life and you should be getting mischievous with your coworkers. Like when you're a grown person, you should be conspiring and gaslighting and all those things as a unit.
Right. Not singularly, because then people think you're evil.
Exactly. But if you're doing it as a group, then it's good.
For the communal good.
That has been very fun. So the last school I taught at was very, very like transient. Like most kids switch schools very frequently. So they didn't have like a ton of super deep connections with each other. But at the school I'm at now, a lot of the kids went to elementary, middle, and high school together. And it's very fun to see their little community.
I love
but
that.
But I was talking to them the other day that I was like, I was having a little bit of a mental breakdown because I realized that you guys have to carry all your stuff everywhere. And I'm such like a routine person. Like I like having my water. I have like my Aquaphor in my desk. Like I have extra hair ties. I have all my things. And I was like, y'all just have to carry everything around. Does your school have lockers? Mine doesn't use lockers anymore.
We don't have lockers. They literally took them out the COVID year. Nobody used them.
I don't understand why COVID equaled no lockers.
We had like a school remodel and they were like, They just were gone. And it takes me a minute to remember that they used to be there. And now I'm like, what's in the walls? What's in here? What are you doing?
Ours are there. We just don't use them. They're all permanently locked.
I had a school that wouldn't let the kids bring backpacks.
That's crazy. Like, that's like, we just expect these tiny people to show up here every day and have no needs.
No, girl, they expect me to keep all their shit in my room.
Okay. I was like, there it is.
Elementary.
There it is. Okay.
Get an IKEA cube storage. You'll be fine.
So much IKEA storage. I like bought a Michael's little cube thingy today. Or like this weekend and brought it to school today. And I'm like, oh, I'm so excited.
One thing that I love about teaching is it enables us to buy so much stuff. And as someone who loves a knickknack, loves an organization system, this is really the field to be in.
It really is. And you can find a use for anything in the classroom.
You really can.
I have so many Legos. I'm a high school English teacher, but they were like on sale and I was like, hey, oh my gosh. So I was like, oh, we're going to do parts of speech. We're going to build with the Legos. And my husband was like, that's a freaking stretch, but I got
it. No, it's not. It's amazing. I might know what a preposition is if someone had used that to teach me.
Thank you. Thank you.
My boyfriend was making fun of me the other day because he ripped one of his t-shirts and I wouldn't let him throw it away because I cut it into small pieces for dry erasers.
Oh, that's
good.
For
the little lap boards.
So smart.
Oh, that's good.
Right? I was like, get that out of the trash can. She has a use.
Write that down, everyone. Listeners.
Get some magnets and then you've got a whole thing happening.
Incredible. I already have magnets. I didn't even think of that.
Look at you.
T-shirts. Just a little bit of hot glue. Boom. There are little scraps of fabric on the wall. Grab one if you need an eraser and leave me alone.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You said earlier, this is a hard left from t-shirt erasers, but you said something about like the honors classes and how the way we do it is really inequitable. Please share more because you've seen a lot more than I have. And from what I've seen so far, I'm having some issues.
I mean, you hit the nail on the head when you're like, they're not behavioral issues. I think a lot of students are like, I don't actually like doing advanced English, but I cannot function in a class where, you know, a teacher is having to deal with the behavioral issues of students unsupported. And I mean, that's really the key, right? Like, I have witnessed classes of like almost 40 kids, the bulk of whom don't speak English, and they're all in a class together with minimal support. And I understand why a student would be like, I can't be in that class, I'm not going to learn anything. So I would rather get C's and D's in this honors class than be in a class where I'm not going to learn anything because nothing can happen in that class. I'm always pushing for better scheduling. And there's been a huge fight on all of the things about IEP kids. And that's an absurd thing because like we got degrees and we're supposed to know how to address those things. But like having students who have individualized needs without resources to provide for those individualized needs, that's the problem. It's not the students who are humans who need things. It is the refusal to schedule those students in a way where they're going to get appropriate help. It is the refusal to like have people pushing in. A lot of special educators are being used as like substitutes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
yes. Why is my para getting pulled every other day when I was teaching to go fucking sub for somebody or proctor a test? It boggles the mind.
I spend so much time being like, is that legal? I have a master's degree in educational administration. So I'm always like, where is that legal? Can anybody address the legality of the situation?
Mm-hmm. I have a bachelor's in sociology from Florida State, so I am not qualified to speak on that. And I'm always shocked when I see something and I'm like, that feels illegal. And I'm like, nah, surely my administrators who have been trained. And then I Google it and I'm like, oh no, why am I the most informed legalities of the person here? It's very jarring. And I had a colleague in yesteryear, I will not say what school if this happened at, but they had a class of 37 kids and 11 kids had either IEPs or behavior plans that required 20 minutes of one-on-one instruction at least three times a week.
And you're doing the math and you're like, I don't
literally. And they literally went to admin and were like, I just have a quick question. When is that happening? Like, when am I supposed to be doing that? Not only do they have to do the 20 minutes of one-on-one instruction, they also had to document every single individual one for every kid every week about what was worked on during that time.
Yeah, I sometimes wonder, I'm like, what do they put down on the paper? Because they can't know. They have no idea.
Right.
I will say people do get sued.
Oh, and they should.
Rare
for that.
What happens.
It's hard, too, because a lot of parents don't know their rights. You don't know, especially if you're just entering the school system. It's your first child with an IEP. You don't have an educational background. There's so much contextual background knowledge that's just not given.
I'm a teacher, and I wouldn't even know how to go about it with a five-year-old.
Right. It's all, like, on the hush-hush on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, yes. I have been to, you know, people in my district. And I'm like, hey, this sounds wild, okay? But like, this student actually can't read. I know he's in the 10th grade, but like, he can't read. And they're like, well, you gotta do 500 things. And I'm like, no, here's all the papers that he's written. There's a discrepancy here. And I always get really frustrated because I'm like, how did you get here? How did you get to a class that has like an end of course assessment? And no one, and I'm not even talking about teachers, right? Because we have a whole load, and like, maybe that kid's in the class with all of the students who have needs. But I'm like, teachers, principals, counselors, DIAGs, how did you make it from like 6 years old to 17 and you cannot read? And it happens so often.
I have asked myself that so many times. It was my first year teaching, so I was very hesitant to like really go in. And so like, looking back, I wish I had gone in harder and like advocated for this kid more. But I had a girl who I was like, she literally cannot read. And I realized, because after like our third test, she came one-on-one for help. And I was like, oh my God, she literally can't read. Mind you, I was 21 years old with a sociology degree. So I was like, I don't know what the fuck to do about that. So I went to like the admin office people and I was like, hey, this girl like cannot read. I think we might need to test her to get like services. I don't like, how do we do that? How do we go about that? And I was told that this 11th grader did not need to be tested because they tested out of the ESOL program in third grade. They said, oh, well, she graduated from ESOL in 2000 and something. So no, we don't. She's fine. And I was like, yeah, when she was in third grade, she was probably reading and writing in English on a third grade level. And now she's in 11th grade writing on a third grade level.
Right. And those skills haven't even been developed.
Yeah. And because I realized she would plagiarize a lot because she could copy and paste and not like on a computer. Like she can look up and write the same way I could write something in French, even though I don't speak French, but just literally could not do her own sentences beyond like what an early elementary student could.
It's so interesting to me in like a bad way that like these kids are still getting pushed into the honors setting. I don't know how I made it with undiagnosed ADHD all the way to the end, just like miserable as hell. I did nothing my senior year. I was skipping class and going and hiding in the theater for like hours a day. Like I was that kid.
Me too.
Like, how is this happening? That we're all just flying under the radar and it's like, well, you were in honors, so you just go again.
It's shocking how many kids they keep on like the honors track. My school also has this weirdness. We do a block schedule. So with the AP kids, I have them the whole year, but if they're in a regular ed class, I only have them for one semester. So my kids that failed the first semester, I was like concerned about them missing out on a credit and being ineligible for graduation. And I was shocked. I was one of the few people noticing that. Like a lot of them just showed up the second semester and I was like, babes, like you need a full credit of US history. Like, what are you doing in here?
Right. Like I think that if a student is in my class, they're going to get better. And so even for my AP kids, I'm like, listen, you're not going to pass the AP lit exam. And like, that's okay. Like I have kids in here who like could not care less about like maybe not even going to college, but I kept them in because I'm like, hey, listen, you're not going to be any worse off, you know, reading these literary classics. And so I'm the sucker who's like, it's gonna be fine. You'll probably pass. It's just hard for me in the system, like putting those kids into
the gen ed
those
space.
Classes yeah. that are like impossible for them to navigate. And they're already struggling, which is why they're struggling in my class. So putting them in a class with a teacher that they don't know, especially at semester ice, I have a hard time doing that. So I'm like the sucker who's like, it'll be fine.
I feel that way spiritually, but because of our schedule weirdness, I'm like, babe, my class is 0.5. You need one. Bye. Love you.
Right. No. Yeah.
Like, wish I could keep you. TTYL.
You got
good
it.
Luck.
Have
I
fun.
Want you to graduate. I wish I could keep all of them. Sometimes I see them in the hallways now because we did get it squared away. Like, I talked to the counselors. We're all good now. They're where they need to be graduation
oh,
ready. But I see them in the hallways and I'm like, hello, hello.
I miss you.
I was like, where's your new home?
I also, like, so many of my students, like, do not need my class to graduate, which is a whole other phenomenon. They're like, I want to slack off an AP Lit with you. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to read any of the books. I don't need this credit. I'm going to make you frustrated, Mrs. Bond, because I love you so much. And I'm like, you love me so much. You didn't read the short story because you know it's not going to count against you. And they're like, yeah, I love you that much.
It's like a weird Stanford prison experiment where you have students that love you so much, but will refuse to do anything and won't leave.
Right. I'm not going to go be an office aide or anything because I don't need this class.
Like, they're like, work study.
Right. Why would
no,
I, do that? Right.
I could sit next to you and ask to put things in your fridge. Seems much more appealing.
The fridge, the kids who ask to share your fridge daily, those are like, you're together. You are locked in.
I threatened to eat their food and they responded so nice because a bunch of them, I have a freezer in my mini fridge and they get blizzards before school, which is psychotic to eat that much dairy at 7:45 in the morning. I didn't even know they would give you a blizzard at 7:45.
I didn't even know they were open.
Right? Really like blizzards.
A lot of them eat half their blizzard for breakfast and then want to put it in the fridge to eat the other half for lunch. So they came back from lunch and I said, what would you do if I just ate it? And they're like, what do you mean? And I was like, what if you came back? And I said, I ate your blizzard. Would you be mad? And they said, no. I was like, that's so nice that you wouldn't be mad.
And they're like, do you want me to bring you a blizzard? Do you need one? Do you need a blizzard?
I've not gotten the blizzard.
My students are always like, do you need one? And I'm like, that's gross. But thank you.
If any of my students are listening, I do not think it is gross. And I think that the brownie one is very good. And I would eat a blizzard at 7:45 in the morning.
I just don't understand. Like, I have students who will be like, I got a snow cone and Takis. And I'm like, it is 8:10.
The Takis in the morning.
I refuse to write a kid a pass to the nurse because I watched them do Takis and Dr. Pepper at 8 a.m. And then they asked me to go to the nurse. And I said, no. I said, this is the first time in my career I've ever said no to someone going to the nurse.
You have the kids that did the tahine packets that they just eat them like Fun Dip?
Yeah.
Tummies of steel on these little people.
That's
I'm
a
just
lot.
Like, wow, I'm in awe of you.
Isn't California threatening to ban hot chips?
What?
Proposed California bill would ban Flaming Hot Cheetos, Doritos, and Takis. Oh my God, I don't want to watch the news on full screen. Jesus Christ. would be banned in California public schools.
That would be a nightmare.
Maybe do something about gun violence. I don't know why Takis was first on your fucking list.
Takis and TikTok.
I can already see the 2020. Takis and TikTok, the plague of the current generation. What you need to know.
This is what's wrong with the kiddos. No, but I am kind of afraid of getting like the third graders who've been eating Takis since birth. Like, those kids are going to be something else. That's going to be a
scared.
Whole different like group of like ninth graders. Oh my gosh. I'm going to retire. I'm not going to be able to afford to, but I'm going to try because that's wild.
Speaking of retiring, since this is teacher quit talk, have you ever wanted to quit? Like, have you ever come close to quitting? Like, really? Like, I know we all have like in a moment, but like, have you ever like really, really, really been there?
Yes, I have come close to quitting. I came close to quitting in 2021. In 2022, in 2023, yesterday. And I'm like, I'm constantly like, I can't do this anymore because it does take, I mean, you guys know this, it takes so much out of me. And I have two kids, one is 6 and one is 1. And sometimes I get home and I'm like, I don't have any energy to do this with you. So I'm constantly looking at other options. I'm constantly like putting, you know, like feelers out there this time every year, like in spring of the semester when in Texas we have STAR testing and it's like the devil and like you have to pass these to graduate. And so like not just like you have to take the class and pass the class, you have to take the class, pass the class and take the test.
I can't imagine having to pass that test because the way mine has always worked everywhere I've taught is that exam is 20% of your grade. So I always feel like as a teacher, if you had at least a 75 going into that, like I did my job. But if they have to pass to graduate, oh, yes. I want to throw up.
They have to pass to graduate. And there's one for English 1, English 2, Biology, Algebra, and U.S. History. So they have to have 5. They have to have five of them to graduate. They've had it in the past where you can get away with only passing three. But, like, imagine someone coming into the country, right, and they're in the 10th grade.
You've been here for 5 minutes. You don't know geometry.
Right. And so that's why those classes are so terrible, because, like, those kids are like, I have to pass this test. My parents came here so that I can graduate from an American high school, and I need to do these, like, five tests in a language that I don't understand with minimal help in a classroom of 30 other people in a similar situation.
Let me guess. The language assistants they get on a desk is a Spanish English dictionary hard copy where they expect them to go word by word. Was I right?
Sometimes there's a Spanish to English dictionary.
That's
it. Not always. They have to ask for it.
They have to ask for it.
So hopefully the student can advocate for that, because, yeah. And being a part of that system, if you follow me on Twitter, then you have heard me. It's the system. It's not the kids or the parents. The system. That's my whole, like, spiel. But, like, being a part of that, like, fucking sucks. I'm sorry. Can I say the F word?
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
Encouraged.
Okay, sweet. I'm like, it really, really sucks, because I see my students' humanity, right? I love them. They're my little babies. And then I get to, like, March, and suddenly I'm like, a demon has possessed my body, and I'm like, you have to pass this test. And being a part of that system makes me feel so disgusting, and I have a hard time balancing it. So it really is. So, like, I don't know if I'm gonna leave the classroom, but I do know that, like, the way that I'm having to teach in Texas is not sustainable. And because my family's here, and because my husband's family's here, and because he has a real job where he makes real money.
Real grown-up money?
That's who pays for the magnets in this class.
That's the magnet supplier you gotta plug.
Yeah,
marriage.
The dealer. My students are always like, you got another Amazon package. Who's that? What's that? And I was like, it is a whole thing of Clorox wipes sent from Mr. Bond. And they're always like, gotta marry rich. And I'm like, just really marrying legitimately middle class is fine.
So all of my things come from TikTok people, and my students thought that it was my boyfriend, and they were like, oh, he got money, like, this man is buying all of our stuff, we have so many squishmallows, like, he's rich. And they know that he works in, like, the financial world, so I think they literally thought he was, like, a billionaire. And he immediately, when I told him that, he was like, you need to tell them I am broke, you are broke, we are broke. These are coming from the internet. We would not. He was like, they think I'm spending hundreds of dollars on granola bars for them, and I don't know them. He was like, that you need to reset their expectations for life immediately.
My husband has definitely spent hundreds of dollars on granola bars, because I'm just like, hey, could you just do this one time? And he's like, you said the same thing last year.
You're like, yeah, I meant one time for the calendar year. That's in the
subtext.
Yeah,
one time this semester. This time of year is really, it makes me feel icky, and I don't love it. And so I was really glad when you were like, can you come be on our podcast? I'm like, I'm not quitting, but I think about it all the time. In March, today's the first day back from spring break, so I'm especially like,
oh god,
I had to come back and be like, hey guys, did you have fun? Did you do good things? Okay, I need you to write an extended constructed response.
Good morning.
We're gonna highlight. Yeah, they were just like, why are you like this? And I'm like, I'm trying to deal with my own thing. Like, I literally talked to my therapist about it, and I'm like, how do I hold all these multiple truths? And she's just like, this is weird. This is like a weird place to be. Like, it is.
I had a slide the other day. We were writing DBQs for a push.
Oh, DBQ.
And I put on the slide, the header said, I feel like a villain for this, LOL, sorry. And then one picture was that meme where it's smiling through the pain. And then the other part had the 45-minute YouTube timer. And, like, the timer was going down, and they were, like, clutching their papers. They're like, please, please, please. And I was, like, yanking them. And I was like, you're done. You're done.
I have had so many instances of that moment in my class. I can't even, like, let me just write. No, you don't have it. It's over.
It's the AP exam.
And I'm like,
they'll beat you, I think. I don't know.
Someone will descend upon your school and be like, it's been 45 minutes and 3 seconds.
You're disqualified. Done. I told them that. So our library where they're taking their AP exams is on the second floor. And I told them I was going to get my dad's ladder and take it into the courtyard so I could look at them through the window and throw small rocks at the window if they went to sleep.
Oh, they are totally sick of you.
No, they're over it.
I love you. I am obsessed, because I literally, like, stand outside of the room and I'm like, wake up. And they're like, why are you here? What are you doing? And I'm like, focus. Why are you looking at me? Like, I am totally...
They were so happy when they found out College Board bans me from being in the room. They were thrilled.
Yes.
They're like, you can't come? Yeah.
Yeah. Ours is in a classroom that has windows. And I'm always like, hey. And my principal's like, why are you, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm checking, okay? I'm checking on them.
Like, do actual sentences I've said to my principal. I'm like, you wouldn't get it, but our auras are intertwined because we're together right. every day. So we're actually intertwined with each other. You're not a part of it, but we right. are.
See, that is community. You're building community. We're doing a thing here. I literally am like, I'm like, they know I'm here. They can tell.
I'm like, they can feel it. Like, you see how they look more relaxed? That's because I'm on this ladder.
Oh, you can't see it? In. That's because you're not a part of this. You don't know.
Oh my God. I wish that you were everyone's teacher.
My kids are going to be like, you are so cool. I am influenced.
Oh my God.
You've influenced me.
You're the best.
I am mid, solidly mid. As one student told me 2 weeks ago. So that's what I'm just owning. I'm living it.
If it makes you feel better, a kid very confidently told me I was their fourth favorite teacher. And I was like, four? Just shy of the podium.
I literally am always like, who? Who is it? So-and-so? Okay. Okay. I was like, that tells me more about you than me. Okay. Like, there are certain teachers, right, in your building where you're like, definitely that I'm not as cool as that person. You're absolutely right. I understand why they're on the list. And then, you know, and then maybe number two is like, okay, I can
it's
see
like,
where
okay,
we would be.
We're different. Maybe it's a personality thing. I can see that. Like, I'm still not
right.
offended.
Like, it's a vibe. But then there are some people where you're like, mm-mm,
you're like,
no,
you like
there's
him
no way.
With the packets.
With the
him?
Egg puzzles in 2024. No, I was like, that's a you thing, babe. That's not me. It's actually, and I say that so much. It's not me. It's you. I have gotten to a point in my life and my career and being a teacher with two kids. I used to take things so seriously, but I'm at the point where I'm like, it's really not. It's the fact that your prefrontal cortex isn't developed. It is. It's you. You're the problem here. And like, that's okay because you're a kid. But it's not me, it's you is like my line. That's what I'm going to try and see if I can get a yearbook quote too.
I need to like embody that into my whole spirit. I had like an awakening the other day where I was grading their cartoon analysis and just like I was really just doing the fucking most. And then I was like, girl, they're in 11th grade and it's a Gilded Age cartoon. Like, it's not life or death. It's really not that serious. Like, relax.
It's hard though, because it's like, this is my whole personality.
And they expect so much of us that it's like my whole life. So it feels terrible if you guys don't right. do something right.
And I spent like all this time building it up, and like you spent like 3 class periods working on this thing. I'm grading analytical papers right now, and I'm like, I gave you an outline. Like, I gave you a sentence by sentence outline, and you're missing half the sentences. How? How? And then I'm like, it's you. It's not me. Like, I always think, like, what could I have done differently? And I've gotten to a point where I'm like, nothing.
You're like, I was perfect. I think my performance was great.
I actually did great.
No notes.
I get an A. You don't get an A, but I get an A. And it really is. I mean, I think that we as teachers, because like this is our profession and we make money doing it, we take this very seriously. And I said this on Twitter. I'm like, we are with these kids for like, I'm with my kids for like an hour and a half every other day. Like, they do not care that much. And sometimes I say things and they don't remember it. And like, that's a normal thing. I repeated it 4 times to 4 different classes, but they heard it 1 time. And maybe I said it, maybe I didn't. I don't know. I have ADHD. I got diagnosed with ADHD this summer. And so,
Muzzle.
Like, officially. And so, being medicated and having it treated and talking to a professional all the time about it has been so helpful.
It's the best.
It's a game changer. But it is really hard.
Shanae, this has been so fabulous. Do you have anything else you want to share with the people? Any other lore, advice, cautionary tales?
Unless you're like a bad person, right? Then it's not you. It's the kids. And also their kids. Like, don't. I think that the most important thing that we can do at this point in time, because like education's so in flux, right? Like, I don't even know like what this job's going to look like in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But just like take it for what it is and remember that like, you know, the kids are legally obligated to be there.
Yep.
And if they weren't, 90% of them wouldn't be. So like it's
not that serious.
It is what it is.
Whatever gets done, gets done.
And that's kind of where I am approaching it. So that's like, I had spring break and I'm like, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to do it. And today I like got nothing on my list done. And I'm like, well, I have a podcast interview thing today. So I'm really excited.
I have
that.
Bigger things.
And
so
that's all. That's all I got accomplished today. So thank y'all for helping me X something off of my to-do list.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. you guys are rock stars. You're amazing.
You are.
And I'm like, oh, my friends are famous. I'm going to call you my friend.
So you are my friend. We're all friends together. Like, this is like, a girls trip.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. This is so needed. And again, I am going to 100% use this as an opportunity to tell my kids how cool I am.
You're very cool. And they should be very honored. Feel free to play this.
Have they seen your glasses?
They do give me credit. They do give me points for my glasses because they are color coordinated. Like, since I don't have hair, I'm like, I'm doing a thing. So it's like gold.
That's like your style moment.
Yeah. It's like the thing that Amazing. I do, like glasses and earrings. When my kids did a dress up day, one of them put like a bald cap on and like had like huge frame glasses and eyelash, like I let fake eyelashes on. I don't even wear fake eyelashes, but he's like, you always have mascara on. And like, so they get it.
This incredible.
They do.
They may be sick of you, but they love you.
They are so sick of me, but they won't leave. And there we are.
Well, if you're listening to this on your way to work, I hope this was inspiring and didn't make you want to quit. I feel like this was an inspo episode, which is rare for us. I loved that.
Yeah, this was so fun.
Leave us 5 stars if you love us. And if you hate us, talk to your family about that. I don't know. They'll talk to us.
Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.